Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this wonderful Tuesday evening, May 25th, 2010. I welcome all the new listeners and all the faithful listeners I've been having for the past couple months now. It is a privilege to be speaking with Dean Haglund tonight on Cryptic Knowledge Radio. If you're getting any feedback, I really apologize, and if it continues, I will call in with my backup, which is my telephone. But hopefully my Skype connection will do okay. I've been having some computer problems the past couple weeks, and I need to get it fixed. But hopefully soon things will be under wraps, and we'll keep it kicking, as we say it down here in the South. But you can go to deanhaglund.com and check it out. Check out some of his stuff there. Of course, if you don't know who Dean Haglund is, he played on the X-Files. He was known as Langley. And I hope he gives me his Ramon shirt. I love the Ramon shirt. Please tell me you have it, Dean, whenever you come back on. But go to theufobunker.com. And also, I've been telling everybody, my site, Cryptic Knowledge Radio, will be coming up soon. I know I've been saying that a lot lately, but it is coming soon. And you will like it. I like it. But we need to go to our brief sponsor, and we will be right back.
4,734 UFO sightings in 2007. 854 abductions by aliens or unknown species reported by American and British citizens. Hundreds more suspectedly unreported in 2007. Suppressed information about collisions with passenger aircraft and UFOs that has been kept from the public knowledge for years. And only one trusted source on information from some of the top UFO researchers in the world. Exclusive information that cannot be found anywhere else on the planet. Trusted, connected, accurate. TheUFOStore.com. Expand your personal library with fast shipping and instant downloadable information from the largest selection of UFO products on the internet by going to theufostore.com or call on the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week order line at 541-523-2630. The truth is out there, and theufostore.com has it.
Yes, the truth is out there, and that's a perfect way for my sponsor, theufostore.com, to lay out the foundation of this interview tonight with Dean Haglund from the X-Files. He was with The Lone Gunman in the X-Files, and also the spinoff series, The Lone Gunman. It's a shame that they only had 13 episodes, and maybe Dean will explain a little more. But let's go ahead and get him on the air. Welcome to the show, Dean.
Hey, Mike, how are you? Can you
hear
me?
Pretty good. How is... Yeah, you sound clear. How do I sound?
You sound excellent. That's amazing.
All right, because I'm getting a little feedback. Maybe it's just my microphone and my headphones, because I I can swear I hear like a little bit of feedback through my headphones, but maybe, hey, if y'all can hear me good, somebody in the chat room said that I sound clear, so that's really all that matters. And
yeah, absolutely.
Dean, okay, like, do you have the Ramon shirt, man? Because I want it.
Yeah, you know, I do. I got that from the props costume department on the last day of shooting. They gave me that. And years later, I ran into a guy who knew the guy who designed all of the Ramones T-shirts. And he has every one of them in a vault. And I said, man, I've looked all over for, you know, it's the purple one that says Mondo Bizarro on it. And it was from their 1984 European tour. And he said, yeah, we sold out all of those. And I don't even, that's the only one he doesn't have in his vault. So that one's actually really impossible to get. Unless you're over in Europe and you can find it in the used clothing store, it's quite the collector's item.
Yes, it is. And I have to say that you were one of the, besides Mulder, I think you were the next, it's either out of you or CGB, the cigarette smoking man, either you or him were probably the next under Mulder when it comes to the X-Files because, man, I wish they could have had more of you into the X-Files. Like, I wish you could have been, like, the major part instead of just a source that Mulder went to get valuable information about UFOs and secret technology.
Yeah, you know, I bet if that show was on today, it would probably be have the gunman. You know, the show was kind of a bit ahead of its time, so those characters seem like fringe characters, whereas now, you know, those guys sort of seem like your regular disc jockeys and that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. For people that don't know who you are, Dean, explain, like, a little bit about your background and how you got interested into UFOs and the paranormal.
Yeah, well, I didn't really know much about it till I was cast on The X-Files back in 1993, the very first season. And, you know, even my agent said, I don't know anything about the show. It's like aliens and FBI agents or something. And so I started doing research, you know, for my characters and know what I was talking about when I said all those kind of things. And that got me into meeting a lot of these guys, like Jordan Maxwell and Dr. Roger Lear and these guys. And as I learned more and more about the UFO world and MUFON and all the research out there, it became quite fascinating and really, really intriguing. So from there, as the show continued over the 10 years, I got invited to many conferences and to the UFO Congress in Laughlin and the UFO Expo over in Santa Clara, California. And I do stand-up comedy as well, so I would often perform at these things and have a great time.
Are you still acting? Or are you just doing stand-up comedy right now?
No, I'm still acting. I just did an episode of Bones that was a throwback to an X-Files episode, ironically enough. And I just shot a couple of movies that will be coming out next year, one called Atlantis Down, which is kind of a sci-fi thing set on the space shuttle. And so there's lots of stuff happening. And then also my production company, we just saw a documentary called The Truth Is Out There, which is all about me and my life with these guys. Dr. Roger Lear's in it, Jordan Maxwell, Reg Presley, who's all into crop circles over in England, he's in it. So we went around the world sort of talking to a lot of people about UFOs and conspiracies and that sort of thing.
Who is the main person or researcher out there that inspires you?
Wow, you know, there's so many. And particularly this last year, you know, this documentary was quite the eye-opener because I would have said, you know, Jordan Maxwell was sort of the first one that I met, and he opened the doors to a lot of people. And, you know, William Henry, I don't know if you know him, but he's quite...
Yeah, I interviewed William last month.
Oh, yeah, and what a great guy. And I thought he's really, you know, he's got this curiosity for all of these weird things, and yet he's still like really up and positive, whereas, you know, some people can get pretty pretty downtrodden on how
yes they can.
Yeah. And then of course Steve Bassett from the Disclosure Project, you know, has been fighting with Washington to have them disclose all they have on UFOs. And he's been really inspirational in terms of, you know, taking the fight to the government and really getting them to look at this and work towards opening up that information, you know.
Yeah.
Have you talked to him?
Oh, Stephen Bassett? No, I haven't. I'm going to have I'm going to try to have him on next month, and also next week I'm going to have who is it? I forgot his name. I can't believe I did. The head guy for UFO Magazine. He was on UFO Hunters.
The head guy.
Bill.
Oh, Bill. Yeah.
I feel like an idiot right now. Wow. But I'm having him on next week, and I hope he doesn't listen to me right now because I'm a big fan of his, and I forgot his last name. But, yeah, we're going to get into the UFO disclosure towards the end of the show. And but first, like, I want to know about a little bit about the X-Files, because everyone says that there has to be some kind of inside source, and because there a lot of the episodes of the X-Files, especially the UFO-related material and the advanced technology-related material from the X-Files, is very similar, if not very 100% accurate, to the real deal. And many say that Chris Carter and Frank Spotnitz, is that his name?
Spotnitz, yeah.
Many say that they had connections to the secret government because of their fascinating in-depth Screws and Bolt episodes. Was there anything that may have given you a hint to where Chris and Frank had connections on the inside?
It was hard to say how their connections were because, you know, they were unique writers, all of them, right down from Chris Carter and Frank, as you mentioned, and Vince Gilligan and John Scheiben. And these guys, when you walked into their writer's office, their libraries weren't typical. You know, often in Hollywood, you'll see writers and they'll have how to write screenplays, Hollywood's 100 best movies, all of that sort of thing, kind of movie-centric titles in their bookshelf. And when you walked into these guys' offices, it'd be like the Ancient Rites of Mithra and, the files from the Brazilian government, the Department of Defense. You know, they would have such a wide range of stuff on their bookshelves that you could sort of see that they did their research and they really pursued getting accuracy to the X-Files. In fact, Chris Carter once said to me that he didn't want me to go and do science fiction conventions because he didn't think the X-Files was science fiction. He thought of it more as science probability. And so that was, you know, where their headspace was at. So were they getting information from government sources? Well, they researched very well, so they may have read into a guy or two who may have been a whistleblower or somebody who worked there. I personally never got to meet him, nor have I heard of anything. The only thing I ever heard was from a woman who was a psychic, and she went, oh, yeah, I was at this Hollywood party when Chris Carter, before the X-Files started, and I went up to him and I said, hey, whatever you're working on is going to make you millions of dollars. And then I asked her, well, why were you at this party? She goes, yeah, well, that was a weird thing. I was hired by the CIA to go to Hollywood parties every weekend and then just send an email back to this guy I've never met and just tell him what I talked about. And so every weekend she'd get a list of like four or five parties, and there'd be like high security red carpet limo things. And she would go and have a date. She would just walk and talk and, you know, see people and stuff, and then just send an email back. And apparently the CIA was keeping track on what was going on at Hollywood parties, you know, to determine exactly what and who and what kind of movies were being made in the future. So, you know, was there a government Hollywood relationship? That there is a little one, as far as I know. But are they actually going in and dictating what Chris Carter and Frank are going to write for the shows? They never said anything like that. And considering the amount of time it took to pull one of those out, I don't think they could have.
Yeah, a lot of researchers and people out there that are into this field say that the government or the secret elite, people, the shadow government, call it what you will, but they say that they use Hollywood to get the message out, because, of course, they're not going to just say it on Fox News or CNN what's going on in the real world with UFOs or other conspiracies out there. A lot of people say that Hollywood is a major weapon for these guys.
Yeah, there's a Project Mockingbird that I've heard exists, where it is specifically that that plan. But again, I've never been involved with any of these projects, nor would I think I'd want to be. And I, you know, I'm trying to think one that would even be an example of that. I mean, would Armageddon?
All right, we just lost Dean Haglund. He's using Skype connection. He sounds clear to me, but you never know when you use Skype. Sometimes you get cut. But we're trying to get him back on. Hopefully he calls right back in. And you can go to deanhaglund.com or go to theufobunker.com. I have Cryptic Knowledge Radio will be coming very soon. It's going to be a site. But I'm going to still be doing the shows here at blogtalkradio.com, and it's going to be a pleasure, because I'm not going to charge anybody. Like a lot of other sites, you have to charge you a certain amount of month each. Hold on 1 second. They charge you each time for subscription and other things like that. And let's go to this quick break, and we'll be right back.
What do all men with power want? More power.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Be on your guard. There are older and fouler things than orcs in the deep places of the world.
We're back, and let's go ahead and get Dean back on the air.
There I am.
You there, Dean?
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Sorry about that. Yeah, you sound clear. You sound clear last time, man. I don't know what happened. I guess that's what happens when we use Skype sometimes.
I'm so sorry about that. Maybe you know.
This
is an indication of the NSA just tracking all our stuff.
Yeah, you never know, man.
I
guess the secret elite are, you know, tapping into our Skype connections and failing them. But hey, no, you sound clear last time, and you sound even clearer now. But
great.
Where were we talking about? Being used as a weapon.
Yeah. How far did you hear? Did you hear me mention Project Mockingbird and all that?
Yeah, that's about where it cut off right there, about Project Mockingbird.
Right. Yeah, that this is the government project to influence movies and directly have their hand in it. But as I said, I don't know what movie they've, you know, I can't point to any single movie and go, this is the proof that they're in, because, you know, making a movie requires lots of people involved, and no one goes out of their way to make a crap film, but there's certainly plenty of crappy ones out there.
Yeah, why I mentioned that about Chris Carter and the X-Files a while ago is because the TV series The Lone Gunman, the spinoff of the X-Files, which the pilot episode of The Lone Gunman was a hijacked plane of terrorists heading towards the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And, of course, it missed, but this was months before 9/11 happened. And a lot of people say, like, of course, Chris Carter isn't on the inside. Of course he's not. But maybe people are giving him information of what might be happening for the future. What do you think, Dan?
Well, yeah. You know, this is that interesting thing of what becomes collective unconscious and what is a direct phone call to the thing. You know, every creative artist sort of wants to tap into some sort of, you know, beyond conscious thought kind of thing where it's a collective zeitgeist, as it were, of something that then resonates with everybody. And so I don't know many artists who could just sit down and sort of plan it all out and not allow some creativity to come from somewhere else. You know, you often hear artists go, I don't know where that came from. So, yeah, I know I've talked to both Vince Gilligan actually wrote the episode, and then Chris Carter and everyone came in afterwards, and it was Vince's idea about the World Trade Center, which he got from a Tom Clancy novel, of all things. And so these ideas were already out there in the pop culture to a degree, and so, you know, it was rather insulting when Condoleezza Rice going, nobody could ever have thought of this. This was unbelievable. It's like, you know, hello, that was our pilot episode.
And if writers in Hollywood can think of these things, don't you think the secret elite can think of these things also?
Well, that's true. There was a writer I met at Comic-Con a few years back, and he was writing a book on the connection between Al-Qaeda and Hollywood. And he said to me, I don't know if he was just pulling my leg, but he said that the Lone Gunman episode was the conduit for the Al-Qaeda to go and make that their A plan. Like, they had other plans, but when they saw that, they thought that this was an indication that everybody, that they had to step up that plan. So in a degree, I think he was trying to tell me that, you know, the X-Files was responsible for it, which was, you know, something I laughed off. And then I don't think his book ever came out.
Did the X-Files ever, or you or Chris Carter or David Duchovny or anybody of any of the crew of the X-Files, I'm kind of talking more towards the writers, actually, but did y'all get any threats from episodes that had valuable information pertaining to UFOs, ETs, and advanced technology?
Not threats. You know, actually, some people were upset that the show was popularizing those kind of things. People who had experienced abductions and or were involved in MUFON or the UFOlogy were always saying that, you know, by making it popular, any time you tried to bring it up, people would then dismiss you, going, yeah, you watch too much X-Files. And their, you know, their quest to move forward was actually hindered by the show. So I don't know if no one ever got to the point of being threatening, but I know there were some FBI agents who watched the show quite intently and said, yeah, you know, some of it is pretty close. And they were very impressed with how close, and, you know, a lot of the technical details and stuff like that, too, that were very accurate. And, again, that goes back to the writers and how much they researched everything they wrote about. You know, they even though it was a weekly show, they treated almost every episode like a small movie. So it became, it put the pressure on them for sure.
Exactly. And were there any episodes that had to be canceled because it retained too much classified information?
Not canceled. I know we would get rewrites at the last second. And I'm trying to think if any of the rewrites seemed to be less informative. It was actually always more information or better information, you know. And for instance, you know, The Lone Gunman, we did an episode in Vegas. And in it, one of the, you know, we're all brainwashed. I'm brainwashed to kill somebody. And in one of them, the original script had the guy jumping from his balcony in his hotel in a brainwashed moment, right? And when the script came back in rewrites, that was taken out where he just threw himself in front of a bus because there is a problem with that in Vegas of people jumping from balconies when they lose all their money and they don't want to, you know, ever show that.
So, you know, those kind of things, those are considerations that the legal department deals with the city and that sort of thing. But I can't think of anything that's been canceled because there was too much classified information. A lot of the times, you know, it seems like they want that to be on TV again, so you can dismiss it as, oh, you watch too much of that fiction X-Files stuff.
Exactly, and I hear it all the time when I was growing up. And, you know, like, you need to quit watching the X-Files. You know, all that's going to do is just ruin your mind and everything. While everybody's yelling at the football game in the next room, you know, like, why the referee made a bad call drinking beer and eating buttery popcorn, you know. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying, like, they're the brainwashed ones, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do the same thing. I drink beer, I eat popcorn, I watch football, but I also have no mind into these other topics, such as UFOs, other conspiracies out there, you know.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I'll tell you, Jordan Maxwell, he's got a line on, you know, like the NFL is partially funded by the U.S. government, specifically, he believes, to distract you from the political process going on. And often, you know, during season games and the Super Bowl and that sort of thing, information will be released that from the Congress that would otherwise rile the nation. But because we're all so distracted by our sports game, we tend to miss that stuff. And that apparently happens fairly common.
Yeah. If you had a guess, Dean, what percentage of all UFO-related episodes of The X-Files are true?
Wow. If I had to guess. You know, I think there's
What percentage?
Well, you know, I'm actually going to say 100%. But here's the thing. They all have an element of truth, or there is a fact or two that they put in every episode, and then from that, you know, expand for dramatic purposes. But that every, be it abduction or UFO crash or whatever, starts with the basis of some report or some, you know, historical UFO fact that they like to put in there to sort of ground it into a reality. So everybody can, you know, go and see, like, you know, take as much as they want from those episodes.
In your opinion, what UFO case, like, not with the X-Files, I'm talking about just real cases, what UFO case is the most significant in your opinion?
Well, you know,
Besides Roswell, what other case?
I was at the 60th anniversary of the crash, and that one has really, you know, been walked over a lot. I got to say, I think it's Edgar Mitchell's sightings that he had, and his you know, revelatory experience coming back from the moon that started the noetic science movement, and all of his work. You know, he's had a couple of sightings of objects, and I think, you know, there's a guy who comes from, you know, a very scientific background, and, you know, nothing like an astronaut to follow this along, and it spurred you know, intellectual progress forward. A lot of people who have UFO experiences are often then locked in fear, or they're traumatized, or, you know, they forever alter their course in life. And here's an example of a guy who, you know, had that and moved forward sort of thing. And I think that's sort of a great example for everyone in the field.
Yeah. And going back to the X-Files for a minute, what I find it's really fascinating and puzzling also is that during the 90s of the X-Files, most of the UFOs seen in the X-Files were black triangular UFOs, like, and that really fascinates me, because what comes about in the 90s, especially the early 90s up until the present, black triangular UFOs, what kind of connection is there? Like, what do you think they are? Are the black triangular UFOs, are they ET, or are they the secret elite of the world?
Well, funny you should ask that, because you know, David Sirita, works a lot with anti-gravity resources. And he was talking to a guy from Lockheed Martin who was pointing out that the triangle is a perfect energy field, an electrical E3, I believe it is, or, yeah, an E3 electrical field that can sort of alter gravitational pull and allow it to move forward with very little friction. And that then most of the triangular unidentified flying objects are probably advanced military craft, either be it reverse engineered from UFOs or that they're of our own design, but they're so top secret that they're still, you know, the military has like technology 50 years ahead of what comes out to the public. GPS being an excellent example. Apparently they had that in Vietnam, and we're only getting it now, sort of thing. So every time I see the triangular craft, I always think about the actual physics of anti-gravitational electrical fields, and think, well, you know, these are earthbound physical properties, and if there was aliens from another planet, they would be coming with a whole different set of physics, I would imagine, and their ship, their craft,
yes,
would be of the more, you know, different shape than triangular.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I believe the black triangles are government, but I just don't understand what would they be used for. Because will these triangles be released into the next world war? Because we know during major wars, a lot of advanced technology comes out. And I just don't understand what are these things being used for. And a lot of people say that these triangles are the main craft that is doing all the cattle mutilations across the world. And I don't understand that either. And if that is the case, like, what is going on? Like, if you had a – give me your wildest theory. Of course, like, well, not what you believe, but just give me your wildest theory.
Right,
that
I've heard.
That, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, there's a couple. Let's see. First off, the one of my favorites is the reason why a lot more UFO sightings are going on in Mexico now than they are in the South and Southwest. You know, a lot of those sightings are down. But apparently the one rumor was the free trade deal, that if these are American military craft and they're actually cheaper to manufacture in Mexico, and so they're test flying them there now more than they are around the United States, which I thought was pretty interesting. You know, there's the British hacker, McKinnon, who was looking for UFOs, and he downloaded the transfer manifest for two United States vessels and a list of officers that were all listed as non-terrestrial officers. And it was a transfer manifest for non-terrestrial officers between two ships that weren't registered with the Navy, meaning that he actually found two military space platforms that had officers transferring back and forth on them. And this is why they're trying to extradite him from the UK to face trial in the US for breaking into this top secret thing. And right now he's fighting it fairly successfully. They're keeping him in the UK, but he's not been allowed to touch a computer since 2005. Now, this indicates that the military's had a space program long before the public space program. And I would think that the triangles, the UFOs, are Earth-to-platform transfer vehicles of some sort. I've talked to a guy who worked in the Navy, and he was working on fixing planes on aircraft carriers. And he said one day a bunch of us were brought down to a little grassy area, and a guy threw a metal square block onto the ground. It was a solid piece of metal, about 6 inches square. And then he said, okay, everybody, just look at that. And he said on his walkie-talkie, okay, we're in position. And he watched it, and he saw a dime-sized hole melt right through the steel instantly. There was no sound. There was no laser light. And then the guy said, okay, thank you, everybody back to work. Nobody mentioned what you just saw. And this was in 1977. Now, think of the technology you had in 77 and the technology we're dealing with now. This also is how the military's advanced their technology. So I think that then the cattle mutilations, if they are coming from the triangular things, are basically this sort of advanced, whatever that was, particle beam weapon, however you want to call it,
yeah.
And that they're used in a space military scenario that they haven't had to unleash, and or they have been unleashing it, but we've just been sending in ground forces as a cover for the fact that, you know, there's a whole nother level going on. So that's a pretty wild theory that I've heard over the years.
Yeah. Speaking of secrecy, going back to the X-Files again, the role of the cigarette-smoking man, I believe, was a very critical and well-played to show how the secret elite control and manipulate information such as UFOs, advanced technology, and other conspiracies. Like, I believe that role that he played, William B. Davis, is that his name?
Yeah, absolutely. Great actor.
The role he played, it is so perfectly played of how the secret elite are actually controlling things behind the scenes.
Yeah, and you know, this is the interesting thing. We've been shooting this documentary called The Truth Is Out There over the last year, and we've been talking to a lot of these guys who, you know, either are fighting the secret elite or the Bilderberg groups or the Illuminati or whatever you want to call them. And all of them said something similar that was quite amazing. And they said, you know, there's not really a conspiracy. It's just business as usual. And that these guys that, you know, William B. Davis portrayed so well, it wasn't really anything personal, that it was just the way business was done. And that, you know, however big you want to put that corporate entity to be and how much power they have and how greedy they are, that is all dependent on one's point of view, really. But that the idea of a secret elite maybe isn't that secret. Maybe it is just, you know, Exxon or BP or Coca-Cola, and they're doing business, and that's how they do business.
Yeah, like I was saying, like, it was played so perfectly well, and like people like that who are controlling the world events behind the scenes and everything, who stay in the shadows, they have a, I don't know, kind of like a Nazi philosophy. The end justifies the means. So that mm-hmm. means, like, if they have to kill people, then they will kill people as long as their agenda makes way and if they accomplish their agendas, like in the future. Like, I just don't understand why do they have to stay in the shadows? Like, why do you think they stay in the shadows, Dean?
Well, this, by staying in the shadows, you remove the need to, A, explain what you're doing, and it allows for a more frictionless ability to go through the world, and that, you know, you stay in the shadows, but as you say, you can control popular culture and stuff through media and that sort of thing. So, you know, by staying one level removed from that, you technically have more power. And if power is the ultimate goal of these sort of people, then indeed, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to stay out of the limelight, believe it or not. So I would think that that's why they're not coming forward as much. But at the same time, you know, you have the guys like Alex Jones and stuff like that, making them very visible. And you know, if and clearly they find that irritating because, you know, he's always up against somebody being pissed off at him. So absolutely, you know, there is a desire to be invisible, and there's people who make them visible. It's the ongoing thing, right?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that they're as secret as many believe, like, because they're, just as Alex Jones states, you know, they're in the articles. You just got to read them. They're in the news. You just got to, like, know, well, not necessarily the news, like, the movies and TV shows, but you have to read, get behind all the subliminal images that they're putting in your mind controlling you. You have to understand what they're doing to you, instead of just saying, oh, I love this movie, it's very wonderful, I love it, you know, or things like that. And if you know what they're doing and what they're up to and know what their agendas are, it's a little easier to I guess not be quite as mind controlled as the rest of the sheep out there. But I want to have about because I understand you have something you have to do next hour, but
yeah,
I want to talk about the Lone Gunman for a minute.
Yeah,
I was so pissed. I was so pissed when the Lone Gunman died. Like, I think it was towards the end of season 9, wasn't it, in the X-Files?
Yeah,
Or
season 8 or season 9,
season
8. Somewhere there. Yeah.
But with the spinoff series, the Lone Gunman, I don't understand how come y'all only had 13 episodes. Like, what happened there?
Well, we started as a mid-season replacement, and the show ended, and then we were going to start back up in September, but they pushed everything because the World Series game was on, so we would start in January again. At that point, Fox and Chris Carter, well, you know, it's such a long story. I actually drew a comic book about it called Why the Lone Gunman was Canceled, and it's all told from my perspective, and it is hilarious. Drawn by me, written by me, and it's available at my website, deanhaglund.com, and it sort of lays out exactly the whole thing of why there was only 13 episodes. And you know, you say we were killed off, but you never saw our bodies in the coffins. So, you know, in science fiction,
I know.
No one ever dies.
Well, we have a caller on the air, or about to be on the air. It's area code 318. That is my area code, and I think I know who it is. I'm going to go ahead and say your name. You're on the air, Kim. How you doing?
Hey, sweetie. Doing awesome, and what a wonderful guest you have.
Oh,
by
thank
the way,
you.
Dean, just thank you for everything you've done, by the way.
Thank you.
Now, I've been a fan of yours for a real long time, and I don't say that to too many people, so... You know, take that for what it's worth.
Thank you.
I want to get back to what you were talking about, where you were talking about the platforms. That sounds a whole lot like the video Moon Rising.
Yes, I don't know this video. It's called Moon Rising?
Yeah, it was on YouTube for a while. I don't know if it's still there or not. It was a non-part video that was, it made you think, and it put a lot of things out there that were hard to dispute. But it says that we do have these platforms that lift off and are space elevators, you know,
yeah.
And see them in pictures. You know, they're, once they show them to you, you can clearly see them in pictures. And
right.
You know, I wanted to make that comment, and then I wanted to ask you kind of a question. I'm going to grill you.
Okay.
What do you think, you know, part of the reason why they're keeping us in the dark, do you think that there are colonies of humans, earthlings, elsewhere, that they are colonizing us elsewhere? Do you think that's a possibility?
You mean our genetic DNA existing on other planets, if indeed we were brought here by a different species other than the
that
way...
That would be a whole other... Yeah, that would be a whole other question. And
yeah.
Very valid.
That is a whole other question. You know,
You know, like the scientists disappearing, you know, and people disappearing and people just unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're colonizing elsewhere?
Well, I haven't heard that theory, and I've heard a lot of them. The one that's more plausible is this idea, you know, there's a guy in Newport Beach who trains his camera on the moon, and he has a basically a motion detector, so anything that's moving in the sky, the camera will follow it. And he just leaves it on all night, and in the morning, research looks at the footage. Yeah, and he gets some incredible stuff, and he's got, you know, these platforms that aren't the International Space Agency, but they're larger than that, and they're traveling through the sky, and they're, you know, he doesn't know what they are, but they sort of indicate the proof of these platforms that are out there. So the idea being that for these things to exist, the amount of science that it took just to get the space agency up and running would require a lot of scientists and people, you know, contracted from the military, you know, outside contractors, that would probably explain a lot of those disappearances that would not necessarily have to be technically a colonization of another planet.
Okay.
Where do they go after they're finished their work? That is a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. But now that you got me thinking, I'm definitely going to look that up.
Well, you know, what you had talked about before, that's a whole other topic and worth exploring probably in a whole other show. So I hope you come back.
So. Thank you so much. Love
Thank
to
you.
Come back.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. You still there, Mike? Or did we lose you too?
Architect. I created the Matrix. I've been waiting.
What do all men with power want? More power.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Be on your guard. There are older and fouler things than orcs in the deep places of the world.
Doesn't it ever wake you in the middle of the night? The feeling that someday they will pass that foolish law, or one just like it, and come for you and your children.
You know, Magneto's right. There's a war coming. Are you sure you're on the right side?
Don't unlock doors you're not prepared to go through.
Tell you only what you need to know. As always, we maintain plausible denial.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there. And no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth.
What kind of drugs is he on?
I want some.
What kind of drugs is he on?
I want some.
I am the architect. I created the Matrix. I've been waiting for you.
What do all men with power want? More power.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Be on your guard. There are older and fouler things than orcs in the deep places of